Please open your Bible to the text that we have just read, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I thank the Lord for this privilege to be here in your midst. I believe this is my first time worshiping in your midst, this new fellowship, which I pray very much will soon become a church. This new witness for the Lord. Not easy to start a new church, a new witness, a new outreach for the Lord. Many trials, tribulation you have to go through, much suffering, especially for the preacher and for the leaders of the church and members in this church too, must struggle and strive together to extend God's kingdom here on earth and also in our hearts, knowing the Lord is coming back very soon. Will you do that? And it's easy to be discouraged, especially in the very beginning when the church is small and few, when you are weak or you don't have much strength. Very easy to be discouraged. I urge you, encourage you not to be discouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You want to make sure, one thing you must make sure is this, you must make sure the Lord is with you. And when the Lord is with you and present with you, He is pleased with you. He's pleased with the reason and the purpose why you begin this new outreach, this church, this witness, this testimony. Then He will make sure you will succeed, so that He will receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And there are still many out there who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are many empty seats here. Thank the Lord you found this place in the Salvation Army. Be a Salvation Army for the Lord in your own way, to fight the good fight of faith. Be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the gospel boots or shoes and march on to preach the gospel and to defend the gospel for the Lord's sake. And if the Lord is with you and the Lord has brought you here together for this reason, there will be good success. By and by, it may be slow, it may be long, but the Lord Jesus says, I will not allow my church to perish. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, as long as we remain faithful, we stick close, we base all our doctrines, our practices on the solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, His infallible, inerrant word that He has divinely inspired and has always preserved throughout the ages. We have God's perfect word today. And that's why we can have this courage, this faith, this strength to proceed and march on, no matter what the circumstances. And where does faith come from? You know, this starting of a new outreach requires a whole lot of faith. May the Lord grant you more and more faith as the days go by. And not only faith, you need hope. You must be full of hope. Well, I'm glad you call yourself Blessed Hope. I wonder why you chose this name. You must be very hopeful people, optimistic. It's good to be optimistic in the Lord, for the Lord. And yes, there is this blessed hope. Be a hopeful people, a hopeful church, looking ahead, pressing on. You just sang that hymn, you press on. You need a lot of faith, you need a lot of hope, and you need a lot of love. Love for the Lord, love for His word, love for one another. That's what you need to succeed. I pray you do. And I pray the Lord will help you. And so here in this text, the Lord tells us to fight a good fight of faith. Well, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul tells us here, and he testifies, and this was at the end of his life, or near the end of his life, he knows he's about to go. The Lord will take him home very soon. At this point in time, he was in prison for the sake of the gospel, for the faith. And his time is about up. And he writes to young Timothy, young preacher, young pastor, how to fight a good fight of faith. And he says here, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so, as Christians, do we go about looking for a fight? No, we don't go around and go about looking for a fight. Gangsters do that. They like to pick a fight. You think they are very macho to engage in these fights, to pick a fight with others. They're very aggressive. For us as believers, we should be peaceful and peaceable and peace-loving people. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. Live peaceably with others. Right? We ought to be a peaceful and peace-loving people. We don't go around and go about looking for a fight, God forbid. And although we are peaceful and peaceable, peace-loving people, yet at the same time, the Lord tells us that the church on earth is a church militant. And there are many, many passages in the scriptures. I'm sure you have read the scriptures, and there are many passages that talk about how the church is an army. Christians are soldiers of Christ. A lot of military metaphor given in the scriptures, like what we have here in verse 7, Paul saying, I fought a good fight of faith. And why? Why must we fight? For what do we fight? Not for personal glory or power or property or fame or anything like this. We fight because we must be self-protective and self-defensive, because we have enemies that surround us. And they seek to do us hurt and harm. They want to destroy us. And we know that we are living in the last days, don't we? And in Matthew 24, we are told, we are warned three times of apostasy in the last days, a false Christianity. And Satan will raise up a false Christianity, a false church to go against the true church of Jesus Christ, against true Christianity. And they will be in the majority, many. And Jesus warned three times of false Christ and false prophets who will abound in the last days. And they are even able to perform miracles to deceive people. They have a sensational ministry. And they will bring the world into the church. And they will be very big. They will be powerful. They'll be rich. And today you have all these mega churches. And their membership, the people who attend these churches, are in the thousands, the tens of thousands. What are we? We are so small, right? We are so weak. We are so few. And these are so big. And so there is this great deception and seduction. And we must be careful not to be drawn away, be seduced by them. It's very sad. There's is one Bible Presbyterian minister, ordained minister, who has already been seduced by them, and he has already departed from our fold and has now joined a mega church, a charismatic church. And he says, what they are doing is right. Well, how can they be wrong when they have so many? It's a sad thing. It's so easy. And if a minister, a BP minister, who has gone through the halls of FEBC, studying in the Far Eastern Bible College, has studied, received all the good training and doctrine, and as the days go by, can be so drawn away and swept away by this crowd, by this false Christianity. How about the sheep? How about the lambs? Well, they are in greater danger. And so we must be on our guard. Every one of us must always examine ourselves, examine our faith, search the scriptures, be strong in the Lord, in His word, in His spirit, and protect ourselves from all these things that will want to influence us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, to tear us away from Christ, and then to tear us away from His word. To look at numbers, to be enticed by the world, to look at success in worldly terms, how we must protect and preserve ourselves from falling away. It's so easy to fall away. And Jesus had already warned us. And in the end times, iniquity shall abound. The love of many will wax cold. That's why I said we must really increase in our love for the Lord, His word, and for one another. Because love, even among Christians, will become less and less. Because the world, the power of the world is so strong. Everybody is self-seeking. They're all looking out for themselves instead of others. Looking at their own personal interests and not the interests of the Lord. That's what we are facing today. Real dangers surround us and abound. And we are told also in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 how Satan is like a roaring lion. He's on the prowl, moving about, seeking whom he may devour. So we have all these enemies. False Christ, false prophets, false Christians, false brethren, false witnesses, a lot of false spirits, a lot of falsehoods in this world. And then we have Satan to contend with, the God of this world. And he doesn't leave us alone. And you want to live for the Lord? Well, you will be the number one target. The leaders also will be targeted. And they are prime targets. Pray for your leaders. Pray for yourselves. And then also, the sin that is still within us. We are our own worst enemy at times. How we must make sure we are sanctified. We become more and more holy, godly, like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that sin will not have a place in our life. We can overcome sin easily through prayer, through His word, by His spirit. So that's why we are called to fight the good fight of faith, because of all these dangers that surround us. And so, in fact, in 1 Timothy, not just here, but in 1 Timothy, and chapter 6, verse 12, here the Lord already told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, He commanded Timothy. In verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So fight the good fight of faith. And Paul himself set the example. He himself had fought the good fight And now he says, I have already done this. I have fought the good fight. If I can do it, Timothy, you can also. All of us can fight a good fight. We don't go and look for a fight when we want to live a godly life for the Lord. We want to preach the gospel. We want to live out the gospel in our life. We want to teach and defend the truth. Well, the enemies will not leave you alone. The world will hate you. Jesus already warned us about this. And you'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake. You will not be left alone. So you don't have to look for enemies. The enemies will come looking for you. And what must you do? You must be on your guard. Arm yourself. Put on the whole armor of God. Strengthen yourself within and without. And then earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. We are not called to be contentious people. We are supposed to be peace-loving people. And the gospel is a gospel of peace. We should preach the gospel. Those who will hear and believe, we thank the Lord, we praise the Lord. Those who refuse and reject, they will face the wrath of God in time to come. But nonetheless, we keep on preaching. And we should not give up preaching the gospel of peace. At the same time, we need to defend the gospel when it is being attacked by the devil or by his agents, when they introduce another gospel, which is no gospel at all. And there are many out there, so many cults, so many false gospels being preached. And how we must need to know the gospel and preach it. So evangelism is very important as you begin this new outreach. Evangelize. Begin at home, your loved ones, family and friends. Are there still those who are still outside the kingdom? Please go, preach, share the gospel. Chinese New Year time, reunion time is a good time to share the gospel. I don't say these are my relatives, they know me so well. It's very hard to share. Well, pray for God's grace. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed to share the gospel with them. At the reunion table, talk about important things in life rather than stocks and shares. Talk about heavenly investment, the good news. And I thank the Lord that, you know, through such times, every year we have a Chinese New Year and a reunion with family and relatives. And every New Year when we visit our relatives, my uncles and my aunts, I, my sisters, my parents, we make it a point to share the gospel. Bring up this topic. Give them a gospel tract. And I remember Calvary Pandan printing these red tracts, Chinese New Year tracts with the Chinese letters. Fu, you have it in your bulletin, right? It's a good starting point. Give it to them. Explain to them. Share with them. Wish them well. And the way to wish them well is to give them the good news. And I'm thankful that, you know, all this evangelistic sharings at Chinese New Year time did not go in, you know, did not end up in vain. But the word of God that has gone forth, bathed with prayer, will bring about a good result. And I'm very thankful the Lord had mercy on my uncles, my aunts, and one particular uncle was very staunch Roman Catholic, his wife as well. But by and by, the Lord began to open his eyes. The wife got converted first. And then after that, the wife prayed for her husband. And then now both of them believe in the Lord wholeheartedly. And not only just believing, they are very fervent, active Christians. And now he even comes to study in FEBC, my uncle. He was my student for a few semesters, studying systematic theology. So he had to take my exams. I have to mark his papers. While he humbles himself
to be taught by his nephew. How did this come about? It's all by God's working in the lives. The gospel is powerful, and the Spirit is also powerful to convict and convert and to change lives. But we have a duty to share the gospel, and there are times it's not easy. So you must be on battle mode. Conquer your fears, conquer all your inhibitions, conquer your sinful desires, desire to want to be slothful and take it easy, and you're not eager and enthusiastic to share the gospel, especially among your family members. And you must conquer all these things. No, I want them to share. Your concern for their spiritual well-being, their eternal destiny. I must do it for the Lord's sake. And it's also a command of the Lord. I must obey His word. So you must conquer all the inhibitions, sinful inhibitions that would keep you back from doing God's will in your life. Share the gospel. And when the Lord does His work, when we do our part, and then the Lord also blesses that work and does His part in bring about lost souls into His kingdom, and to know we have a little part in God's good work, how we are so thankful. Lord, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the joy. Though I'm nothing, you can use me as a very simple instrument to share the good news. And then you did a powerful work in changing lives, in performing such a miracle. Never thought my parents or my grandparents or my uncles or my aunties, whoever your loved ones may be, who are very resistant to the gospel, very proud in their own ways because they are self-made people, rich, wealthy. Well, they don't think they need anything or anyone. And then the Lord can humble them and bring them to Himself. And then the Lord has used you. And you just thank the Lord. And there is great joy. So, you must do this. And I know it may not be easy, but you commit yourself to the Lord, pray for His grace, pray for Him to give you the words to say, right? Pray for the opportunity to arise, and make sure you don't hesitate, seize the opportunity to share the gospel. And you can begin in the Chinese New Year time with your own family and your loved ones, your relatives, and then invite them to church to know more about Jesus Christ. So fight the good fight of faith. That was how the Apostle Paul fought the good fight. He was always on the go in all his missionary journeys, preaching the gospel in places where Christ is not named, to win people to the Lord. And it wasn't easy. He went through a whole lot of hardships and sufferings and difficulties, beaten, shipwrecked, reviled, and yet he did not give up. We must not give up. Fight the good fight of faith. And that's why here Paul tells Timothy how to do so. You preach the word, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. How to fight the good fight of faith? You preach the word. And this word is a worthy word. It's God's word. And 2 Timothy 3:16, earlier on, is already said, and we know this verse very well, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So you have such a scripture, powerful word. And if there are teachers here, you're enthusiastic about, you know, your favorite subjects. You may teach history or geography or literature or economics or mathematics. And I thank God for enthusiastic teachers. I think they make a difference in the life of of their students. I thank God I had enthusiastic teachers. When I was in secondary school, I had a Chinese teacher. He was a very enthusiastic teacher. Mr. Liu, I remember him very well. And he would try to make the Chinese lessons very interesting, right? And make us enjoy. My Chinese is really, I don't know where you can find it. Cannot be found because I'm very poor in my Chinese. He did his best to help me. And one day he was so frustrated with me, my Chinese, because he asked me to read a passage and I was, not reading it very well. And he almost gave up on me and he told the whole class, 这个家伙, 他的华文程度摸上摸底摸不到, he said. If you understand what I mean, right? And I don't know whether he said it, whether he really meant it or not. I don't think so. But later on, he said, 如果他能够考到 P1, and also you get a distinction for Chinese, it will be P1. 我会脱我的衣服跑全校一圈. Maybe that was the way, the method he used to motivate me. Right, to really work hard. Well, I really worked hard. My Chinese was F9 standard. I worked hard. And I passed eventually. I passed my Chinese. I didn't get a P1. Right. I got a P1, I think he's in trouble. But I just passed. I thank God. And in those days, if you don't pass your Chinese, you can't even enter the junior college. Right. And take your A-levels. So I'm thankful I passed. Well, I thank God I had good teachers in school that really know how to motivate students. They love their students. They love the subject they're teaching. And then they do their best to help their students improve. But that is just Chinese, a language. Mathematics, biology, history, geography, these subjects you learn so that you be educated, and they will equip you to live your life here on earth. But what we have here is even more precious. This word, wisdom from above, from heaven, that will teach us not only how to live our life here on earth, but how we may get into heaven and live in heaven forever. And how can we be slothful, right, in preaching the word? We should be very eager and very enthusiastic to preach the word. And Paul issues a command here. Preach the word is a worthy word. Every book written by man is imperfect. No matter how well it's written, there are weaknesses, shortcomings, and mistakes. Only one book in the whole wide world is perfect, infallible, inerrant, without any mistake, and that is the Bible. And we have this word. And if you're enthusiastic about what you're doing in your profession, then you should be even more enthusiastic in your faith, your profession of faith. I'm a Christian. I know Christ. I know the gospel. I know His word. Then you preach it. And this word can change lives. It has changed your life. It has changed my life. Then let us make sure that other people's lives are changed and they will be changed for the better. But if we don't preach, we don't proclaim, how are they going to hear? So let's do this. Preach the word. And this word we have is verbally and plenarily inspired. Thank God for that. And verbally and plenarily preserved. We have the very same words God gave the Apostle Paul. God gave Timothy, God gave Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God gave the prophets in the past, to Moses, to David, to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah. All these have the very words of God given to them in the very beginning by divine inspiration. And the people in those days, and after all these thousands of years, do we have the same words? We have the very same words, and all of the words God has preserved, has inspired words intact for us, kept pure in all ages by His supernatural providence. And it's the logic of faith that will give you this understanding and this conviction, not based on your intelligence, but based upon divine wisdom and revelation that's found in God's Word. His promises, and He exists, He's powerful, and He's powerful to keep His promises, and He has kept His promise. And on the basis of Scripture and Scripture alone, we believe in these wonderful doctrines of the Bible. It's perfect inspiration and perfect preservation. And with this, we can march on, right? With the sword of the Spirit in our hands. It's not a broken sword. Very sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is offensive and it's also defensive. We must have this sword. And God did not equip us, arm us with a broken sword. It's a powerful sword, a perfect sword. And how we must know it, not just know it, know how to wield that sword skillfully. And the preacher must be studious, given to the study of the Scriptures deeply. Those who preach, those who are going to stand here in the pulpit to preach God's Word, make sure you know God's Word deeply. You continue to study God's Word. You don't stop studying God's Word. You keep on studying. I'm still studying. And the study of God's Word is really very enriching. And although, you know, there are many books in the Bible that I've studied, I've exegeted, I've taught even, I've come with, you know, produced my lecture notes, and when I visit again and teach again the same book or the same subject, I have to restudy, revisit, review, and it's always very refreshing. It's not, you know, when you give yourself to the study of Scriptures in the right manner, they are wonderful treasures, so deep. You think you know, actually you don't know. And then you study some more. Oh, so many more spiritual golden nuggets from God's Word that God will reveal to you. Greater insight into God's Word. And then you become all the more richer in your faith, mature in your faith, stronger in your faith. And you never grow tired of studying the same word again and again and again until kingdom come. I believe in heaven you'll still be studying God's word. And it's a pleasure. And we need this word. Preach the word. And you need to know the word. And so I encourage all of you, not just the preacher, encourage all of you, please come. Please study God's Word. Don't just keep your quiet time. Quiet time is important. You have your RPG. But engage in an intensive, systematic study of God's Word. And we thank the Lord for the Far Eastern Bible College. We open our classes to all. And we thank the Lord that not only Bible Presbyterians come to study, most of our students, the night class students, the basic theology for everyone classes at night, attended by Bible Presbyterians. But we thank God there are many from other churches that come also to hear and study God's Word. And they are hungry for God's Word. And if you are to preach God's Word, make sure you know God's Word. You do not stop studying God's Word. Don't be conceited to think that you already know. The times when I thought I already knew and then I slackened in my study, I failed. No blessing. But when I humble myself, just like what Reverend Toh says, you want to be effective for the Lord, you want to receive God's blessings, you must be humble like the valley. Then when the rain comes, you receive all the goodness, all the water. But if you're proud like the mountain, the rain comes, the water comes, it all run away. You'll lose all the blessing. So we humble ourselves. And I'm still a student. And even in learning how to preach, although I've gone through the halls of FEBC and in the seminary in the States learning how to preach, when I return back to be a teacher, I still become a student. I attend the homiletics period every Wednesday to learn from my students how to preach. I've encouraged my brother here to continue. I pray he will do so. Can learn from everyone, even from your own students. And I thank the Lord for this wonderful privilege, this calling to be a preacher of His Word. And that means I must continue to study His Word with all fearfulness, to fear God, with all humility of heart and mind, so that I may receive the blessings that come from His Word and be able to communicate it clearly to His people, to feed the lambs and the sheep, and that you might also be excited, enthusiastic to study God's Word for yourself. Your heart will burn within you as the Scriptures are being expounded and applied, and you want more and more. I pray this is the case here. You are not a dead or dying or sleeping church. You are here and you are excited, eager, enthusiastic for God's Word, and you will really want more and more of God's Word so that you might be a blessing to others. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. So, here we are told, be instant. Here the word be instant tells us we must always be on the standby. We must always be ready, right? We must be ever ready to preach God's Word, to go into action or battle when called upon, whether it is in peacetime or in wartime. We are always ready. Just like today, national servicemen, although they may have completed their national service, and now they are in the reservists, they must always be ready, battle ready, be on standby, on call. The moment the alarm bells ring or the siren is sounded, we put on our full battle order and ready to defend our country. This is very necessary. Singapore is a peace-loving, peaceful country, but we have an army, we have our armed forces. Why? Because there are enemies that surround us. And we must always be on our guard. And likewise, the church must also be like this. Always on guard. Don't say it's only for the young ones to defend the faith. The old ones can retire and take it easy. No. Everyone must be ready all the time until the day the Lord calls us home. Just like Paul here. I fought the good fight and he fought right to the very end. Just like our founding pastor, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. People want him to resign. He says, I cannot resign. I cannot retire because I'm not in any ordinary occupation. I'm in the Lord's service. And I'm answerable to my God and my Savior. I know He wants me to serve Him until the very end, no matter what. So I must keep on preaching. And he preaches good sermons. Even in his old age, although his sermons became shorter, but still there are good thoughts, good preaching and teaching, wisdom that he imparts to God's people. But then they criticize him. But he never was discouraged because he knows whom he has believed in, whom he is serving, so he presses on. Day by day, week by week, month by month. And although after pastoring for 53 years, the church he pastored no longer wanted him. Okay, I go. And then what did he do? Well, start a new witness, new church. Okay, and he continued to preach and to teach until the Lord took him home. Preach, be ready all the time. Whether you're young or old, preach until the Lord calls you home. Be instant, in season, out of season. Whether in office, within office hours or outside of office hours, you are ready on call 24 hours, 7 days a week, all the time. I remember also how Reverend Toh, our pastor, in his weekly, while he put right at the top, at the masthead, ring or call pastor, he gave his phone number anytime. Well, and he taught us, his students, you all as preachers, as God's servants, must be like the fireman and the policeman. Must always be on standby. When the call comes, you must be ready to go at any time, any moment. Ring pastor, phone pastor, any time. Preach, serve the Lord. Be instant, in season, and out of season. And then it says here, when you preach, what must you do? It says here, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Reprove, to refute. Refute what? Refute error. Refute all false doctrines and heresies. What is a heresy? A heresy is any teaching that will tear you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and to tear you away from His Word, that causes you to have a lower view of God and your Savior, and causes you to have a lower view of Scripture and His Word. That is a heresy. And we must refute all these errors. Good doctrine will always exalt Jesus Christ and cause you to love Him more and more, draw near to Him more and more, and cause you to have the highest view of His Word. And we must refute every error that's out there, earnestly contending for the faith, the objective faith, the Word of God given to us. And that's part of the doctrine of biblical separation that Bible Presbyterians are well known for. And thank God for the Bible Presbyterians that hold fast to this important doctrine, which is much neglected and ignored and despised by many today. The ministry of warning is so important. So refute, reprove, and then rebuke. Rebuke what? Rebuke sin. A sinful lifestyle, sinful habits, sinful activities. We must rebuke. We must not preach in order to tickle the ears of men, make people laugh, tell a whole lot of stories, and then, you know, they come into this hall and then they leave, you know, with a entertained heart and mind. It's just like drinking a can of Pepsi Cola or Coca-Cola. You feel good for a while, but then at the end, everything is fizzles out and then you become very empty. No, you come in, you want to make sure the people know what God thinks of us, and God wants us to know and to do. And there are surely many things in our life we need to correct. We must sin less and less and become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this rebuking ministry is very important. And it may make you unpopular, but if you are serving the Lord, you will not care. I must obey God rather than man. And it's good for you. Rebuke sin. But the reproving and the rebuking ministry is so lacking in so many churches today. I pray this church will be such a church that would preach, ever ready to preach the gospel, and then to reprove error, rebuke sin, and then exhort. And of course, after surgery, you don't leave the wound open. You will mend it, all right, stitch it up. There is a need to exhort. The exhortation is the positive part. You refute error, you rebuke sin, then you must give the people, tell the people what they need to improve in their lives. Give them the medicine, the good nutrition they need that they might strengthen themselves. So this is the exhortation part. the encouragement part, to press on for the Lord. And then it must be done with all long suffering. That means we must be very, very patient with people. And it must be full of doctrine, not personal or intelligence, not personal charm, right? Not any personal connection or influence on our part. If people's lives are going to be changed, it is by the word of God and by the good doctrine that we will give out from this pulpit. And pray the Holy Spirit will apply the truths preached in every individual life and heart and mind. And the Spirit is the infallible teacher. He knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows what we need. And if you feel convicted of your sin, and if you are corrected of your error, please don't say, "Why is Pastor targeting me?" All right? No. There are some members who say, "Are you... you know, after the end of the message, are you talking about me?" I say, "What about you? You know, it seems like you are talking about me." I say, "I do not know what is going on in your life, and I don't have all knowledge. But if the truth is preached and applied, and the Spirit is convicting your heart, it is the Spirit that is revealing to you what you should not do and what you must do. Not me, I don't have all knowledge." So you bring it up to the Lord. And you deal with the problem yourself if you are convicted. And it must come with doctrine. And doctrine is not academic, it's not dry. Actually, doctrine or theology is very, very exciting and very practical. And so I urge you, please do your best to know the Word of God. And you must fight. You must always be on battle mode to fight the good fight of faith. And you can only succeed in this fight if you have the Word of God, you have the sword of Spirit to preach, to teach, to refute, to rebuke, to exhort and encourage others. And we do it with the Spirit of great patience, long suffering, and with doctrinal knowledge. And this knowledge is power. May the Lord help us. Let us pray.